Hello, and welcome to episode 178 of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast, a podcast where we talk about games and gaming from a feminist perspective. My name is Samantha Blackman, and I'm an associate professor here at Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana.
We're doing so well.
I was. It only took me 25 seconds to ruin everything. But we're going to keep going. In West Lafayette, Indiana, where I talk about, read about, write about, dream about, amongst other things, video games, and not screwing up our intro. So, tonight, for episode 178, Alicia Karabinas and I have come together to have a post-PAX talk.
No, you got to call that a post PAX.
What's parlay?
Parlay.
A post-PAX parlay.
Parlay.
There we go. We're having a post-PAX parlay, y'all. So, Alicia, how are you, darling?
I am okay. but also super mad because you got to go to PAX and there was the new State of Decay DLC.
Yeah, it was. I didn't play it, though.
Oh, all right. That's good, then.
I didn't play it, but that makes you feel better. Okay, so here was my... Okay, I got two things. So, first of all, yes, for those of you who are sitting there going, Sam said she was never going to go to a PAX. I did. I said I was never going to PAX because I hate Penny Arcade.
Mm-hmm, and you did say that.
They're dick wolves and raping people to sleep or raping people to death or whatever the fuck the dick wolves did.
I don't mean to laugh. That's not funny. It's the way you said it that was funny.
That being said, yes, I did say that. but at the same time, I wanted to more than anything be PAX adjacent. But I also didn't feel like I could do that without actually like... being a part of PAX. And we had this conversation, I think, before when Jerome and Melissa were on and we were talking about, you know, making some kind of attempt to affect change and maybe having to do it from inside as well. Yeah, I don't know. And I have to say that there was some stuff that, you know, you could see people who were making some real efforts to make change in and around the games community. And a lot of the diversity-related panels and the other the diversity-related organizations that were there. So I didn't feel so terrible about it. And I did not purchase not one piece of PAX paraphernalia while I was there because I just felt like that was going too far. And I already felt bad about about buying tickets. So, nah. That being said. Not nah, but... Yeah, that being said, that's...
In which Sam justifies going back on her word.
I know. So, but yes, I did go to PAX, y'all. I did go to PAX. Y'all can talk about me bad, and I won't blame you for it. I did what I did.
You said what you said.
I said what I said. I did what I did. But anyway, that being said, that happened. And now, as for State of Decay.
No. We'll talk about all this.
Okay.
I want to talk about many things.
Yes.
But first, we have business.
Okay, first we have business.
We got business.
So, we have to do our usual. What you playing, what you reading, what you drinking. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start with you, Alicia. What you playing, darling?
You made me put it down.
Yes.
Because you're mean. I was playing Donut human. County.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Which is so good. It's a little indie game. I think it's just a phone game. I don't know. I have it on my phone. I've heard it described as a reverse Katamari, which is an excellent description. Instead of collecting things, you are a hole that absorbs things.
Mm.
You have to position yourself so that things fall inside of you. There's no good way to talk about this. But the controls are really precise. Like, you can slide around in the ground and juggle things. Like, there'll be a table, but maybe you can't swallow the table yet. But you can get the stuff that's on the table if you can knock the table over just a little bit so the stuff falls off.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get bigger with everything you eat. So then you can start eating, you know, like buildings and mountains and hot air balloons and all kinds of great stuff. All kinds of wacky stuff. Let's say that. It's super fun. I wasn't going to buy it because I don't know, man. There's something I've never gotten over the thing like, I don't want to pay for a mobile game. But that's dumb. That's dumb.
It is.
I know it's dumb. Even as I think it every time, like, I could get this mobile game, but gosh, that's $2. And I love my mobile games. Like, I play a lot of little mobile games. So I know this is dumb and I'm trying to get over it. I'm really glad that I bought this. And I love it. And of course, I'm playing Mafia, as one does when one is a Mafia player. And played a little Rock Band for the first time in a while.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I just purchased a game that I have not started yet, but I'm very excited about. We can talk about it next time. Called It's You, A Breakup Story.
Oh, wow.
And this is not a spoiler because it's right there in the game description. The thing that's supposed to be interesting about this game is that there's only one ending, but lots of ways to get there.
It's You, A Breakup Game.
Yeah. So I'm very excited to see what they mean by there's only one ending, but lots of ways to get there. And it's tagged on Steam with Choices Matter. And, you know, like, that's the way to my heart. If there's one tag on Steam that I'm super dedicated to, it's Choices Matter. So I'm excited. I'm going to start that probably tomorrow because tomorrow's my day off.
Jelly. Okay.
I'll let you know what I think of it.
Please do. I want to know what you it is. Because if it's me, it's you is me, the player, I don't want to play it because it's never me. It's always somebody else.
Oh, my God. Of course.
Hush. Mm-hmm. It's never me. I'm always right.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhoozy. So what have I been playing? I played some Strange Brigade, which was actually really good. So it is a... how do I put it? The way that I was describing it to people is like, it's an adventure game where you kind of play a X-Files meets 1930s antiquities discovery team, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the four characters that you start with are, they're all seemingly, well, British or British occupy, right? So there's a British dude who appears to be Asian of some sort. There is your traditional, you know, big burly white British dude. There is a Rosie the Riveter looking character who is also a pugilist, so she gets to punch shit. And her and all everybody right. has their own specialist. Her specialty is explosives. And then, of course, because no game can escape totally and completely the trash fire, there is an African character who is a female character who is dressed in full fucking tribal dress, tribal in scare quotes, with war paint. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, and we know about colonization in Africa, and I could see how, you know, that all falls under the umbrella of the Queen's territory. But why didn't they give her some clothes that were not appropriative? So, you know, I fired up the game and I was like, why have I not noticed this before? And I was like, I'm going to behave. I'm not going to lose my shit, but they better give me time. They better give me some clothes to change her clothes real soon. I didn't get a chance to play too much of it. I got a chance to play about 5 or 6 hours of it before PAX. And since I just got back from PAX day before yesterday, I haven't had a chance to go back to it since. So yeah, I'm real pissy about that.
Do you want to go back to it?
I do, because the game itself was fun, but I also want to see. I actually, because I've only played as the Rosie the Riveter character, because I was streaming it at the time, and I didn't, and I was on like the Xbox Dash, and I didn't want to like just start cussing on the dash, because children might be watching. Mm-hmm. And so I played as the Rosie the River character, and I want to go back like and play as the African character to see how it unfolds and see what they actually did with the character. Mm-hmm. So I want to go back and play as her. But other than that, the game itself is actually kind of fun. It's like I said, it's kind of like X-Files meets Tomb Raider. Yeah, because like I said, you play these, like this team of folks, they search for antiquities, and they're going out to look for, when the game starts, one of their, you know, team members that's not a part of their immediate team, but a part of their organization. Sure. Who's disappeared. Right. Because she was trying to stop an archaeologist from opening the tomb of a dead Egyptian queen who had specialized in dark magic, kind of like Pandora's box.
Right.
Yeah. So you know how well that's going to go.
Yes.
I'm not, no spoilers, but you know. So yeah. And I like that kind of stuff, because it's like Indiana Jones, Tomb Raider, X-Files, all in one. But we gonna have to go back, and we gonna have to look at that other character, so that I have something to scream about and cuss about. So yeah, and not just the surface stuff. I need to be able to scream about the full characterization,
right?
As I do. So yeah, that. I also played some more Graveyard Keeper.
Carrie was playing that.
That game is fun. That game is stupid fun.
You know, there's a little bit of cannibalism in that.
There's cannibalism in there. And so I, when I started the game, I was like, I'm not going to eat this human flesh. And I just was not paying attention one day, because I had probably been playing for about 6 or 7 hours.
You ate the human flesh?
And I was probably half asleep. I don't know what happened. But I was tired, and I was like, I need more energy so I can finish doing this task, and then I can go home. And I wasn't paying attention, and I was like, there's food, and I ate it, and I went, shit.
That sounds like somebody justifying how they ate human flesh.
Look, let me tell you something.
Nope.
In the apocalypse.
Nope. That is the one line.
It was a mistake. It was an honest to God mistake. And once I did it,
oops, I ate human flesh. Are y'all hearing this? I'm not going to be alone with her again.
You don't have to worry about it unless it's the apocalypse and there's no food.
No trust. Trust is dead.
So that happened. See, what happened was
the human flesh. It just happens. Sometimes human flesh just happens in your mouth.
It just, you, she just falling in your hole. So, you know, We're even. I'm
purposely putting things into my hole.
Anywho, okay, so this is now the NSFW podcast. Not safe.
But accidentally, like how Sam accidentally ate human flesh.
Yeah, accidentally.
Brought it back.
All right, so, and then what else have I been playing? I bought Octopath Traveler because I was going to play it on my flight out to Seattle because I did not have a direct flight out there, so it was going to take me 13 hours to get there.
Girl.
It was the best I could do. It was a holiday weekend. I did get a direct flight back, though, thank God. So I bought Octopath Traveler, and I was like, I'm going to play this on the way out to Seattle. And I got settled into my second flight, the second leg of my flight, not the first leg. It was just too short. And I'm like, I'm going to play some Octopath Traveler. Got my Switch out, opened it up. It was like, hey, there's Stardew Valley. Wonder where I left off. Uh-uh. I'm just going to turn it on for a second. Yeah, we know how that turned out, right? So on the way out there, I didn't play any Octopath Traveler, but I played a whole lot of Stardew Valley.
The worst.
Horrible. I am a horrible human. And so I didn't end up playing any Octopath Traveler because on the way back, I had to finish the book for our Mixer book group that I had not finished and we were talking about on Tuesday. So I had to finish the dang book because I can't be the one running the book group and not have finished the book.
That is true. That is a law, I think. It's actionable in at least 47 states.
I'm pretty sure it is, and I was not trying to go to jail. So I finished the book on the way back, and I played no games. So I'm going to start Octopath Traveler soon. Soon, yeah. On my Switch. But I did play one more thing. What did I play? Oh, I played the full release of PUBG. I've been playing that.
Okay.
Okay, so it looks really good. It does. It looks really good. It plays a whole lot better. I was really salty at first when I turned it on because, you know, they have this thing they call Event Pass, right? So it's a 30-day event where you can do challenges daily, weekly, and for the month to like unlock special stuff. But the event pass is $10, right? And I'm like, wait a minute, they're trying to make this like Battle Pass on Fortnite. I was like, but the difference is Fortnite is free.
Yeah.
So, you know, and their events, their seasons last like 2 months and not 1 month for the same $10. So I was real salty. And then I heard a rumor, I haven't had a chance to validate this, is that this is like supposed to be a once in a lifetime thing. And that was why they did it this one time. If this shit keep going, I'm going to be real mad. I'm going to be real salty because we paid like $50 for that game. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't have to pay $10 a month to play that game after that.
Well, I mean, many MMOs say hi.
Okay, but those start out as MMOs, mm-hmm. and PUBG is a battle royale, not an MMO.
That is true. I'm just saying that the pricing model exists.
Okay, whatever. You better give me my $50 back if you're going to charge me $10 a month for some damn battle pass like Fortnite. If you're going to be raking in money like that on a game that, you know, honestly is a whole lot better than it was, but still is not as polished as Fortnite. You better give me my $50 back. Now, that being said, Fortnite is still my favorite battle royale. At least until I get a chance to try Blackout in Black Ops 4, which it starts the beta for Blackout starts Monday, and I am super stoked to get my hands on that because I had a whole lot of fun playing Black Ops 4 the beta, just the regular game beta, a couple of weeks ago. It was a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to the to the Battle Royale portion of it next week. I'm hoping it doesn't break my heart.
I too hope it does not break your heart.
I know. Because I'm a delicate flower.
Man, I gotta go. About as delicate as an iron bar.
Well, you know what? There's beauty and strength, man. That is about all that I've been playing on my own systems. I did play some stuff at PAX, but I'll wait and I'll talk about that in a little bit.
All right.
What you reading?
Well, I've been reading a lot of back issues of game journals again because I'm working on my dissertation. Yeah, I'm going to have a chapter for you very soon, so prepare yourself. So a lot of that stuff, and I just finished my second article draft about Mafia with my co-researcher. Submitted that over the weekend. So I was reading, I've been reading a bunch of articles about technical communication and video games, which was really funny because somebody posted in one of my Facebook groups today, like, I'm really looking for scholarship that ties tech comm to games. And I was like, well, here are all the sources that exist. So I was ready. But that was nice. So that's, I mean, mostly I've just been reading scholarship stuff. I'm boring. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
So boring.
That happens.
What was the book for your book club?
That's all you've been reading is boring stuff?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Nothing fun?
Well, that and the deeply depressing news.
Well, that happens.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me see. What have I been reading? Well, I did finish the book for my book club. And that was John Green's Turtles All the Way Down.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, it took me forever to finish it. Because we have middle-aged white dude writing from the perspective of a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah, we talked about this on the last episode, I think, because you had just started it, I guess.
Oh, no, I started it a long time ago.
Well, it was one episode, because you had begun it, and you weren't sure. You said that it was okay, but you weren't sure you would have read it, I think, if it wasn't for the book club.
Yeah, well, no, I don't know if I said it was okay. Oh. I just said I wouldn't have read it if it wasn't for. I started it. I went out when we chose the book. I went out and grabbed it at the bookstore, and I started to read it. And then I put it down and I read. I was reading a bunch of other stuff around it because I didn't want to start reading it again. You know, as you do. Yeah. So, yeah, that happened. How do I say this? So, I'm trying to be nice. No, I'm not. The reason I couldn't read it is because, like I said, it's a middle-aged white dude trying to write from the perspective of a 16-year-old girl. It's been a long time since I was a 16-year-old girl. Long time. But I know what I read was would not have been the perspective of a 16-year-old girl. So it made me kind of salty.
What? You were salty?
Just a little bit. And it also, and we were talking about this when we talked about the book. So, like I said, perspective of a 16-year-old girl who's supposed to have kind of severe OCD that borders on a kind of mania. And all this time she's going through, like she's trying to solve a mystery. And the mystery is that the billionaire father of one of her childhood friends has disappeared in an attempt to escape persecution.
Oh, I'm done. You said billionaire father of one of her friends. I check out.
Wait.
Okay. So I don't read stuff about rich folks.
Well, so she's not rich though.
Yeah, she's rich folks adjacent.
She is rich folks adjacent, but she also poor folk adjacent because her best friend is a poor Hispanic girl.
Of course she is.
With, I think, a black boyfriend. And the girl that is the main character is a white middle-class girl who is the daughter of a single parent school teacher because her father died of a heart attack apparently while mowing the grass like 6 or 7 or 8 years or 10 years or whatever the hell it was previous to the start of the story. And so it is never clear what the book is actually ever the fuck about, right? Because it's like, is it about her and her OCD? Is it about her and her relationships with other people? Is it about the mystery? Because, and because that's thin as hell, because they talk about it like for the first couple of chapters and then something happens. I'm not going to say what, in case people decide to read it. And then they don't talk about it again for like 20 chapters. And then they mention it like literally on one page. And then it comes back and they talk about it in an instance where a girl with severe OCD, so severe that she doesn't like to touch other people. And she is actually doing harm to herself to cleanse these parasites that she thinks she might be getting from herself is in a sewer in her city with raw sewage and rats to go to an underground.
I would make exhibit. Duct tape armor. Okay.
Right. Because, and she doesn't mind it. And I'm like, see, you just fucked up. But, and then I was, and then somebody asked that during the, and somebody asked that during the book group discussion. They were like, so is it about the mystery? And I was like, wait. So we went back and I read like the dust jacket and it was like, it's a mystery. And she's a detective. I'm like, for like 10 pages, what the hell? So Turtles All the Way Down. Yeah, that's what I read. That's what I've been reading, and I was mad about it. But it looks like our next book group read is going to be much better. Because I think we're just going to go with the one that people kind of voted for last time. But, you know, we chose Turtles instead because it won by votes. But I think our next one is Angie Thomas's The Hate U Give.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so that should be redeeming. Mm-hmm. That should be redeeming. Yeah. But I read it. I want all kinds of cookies for finishing that book.
Nah.
Damn it.
Sorry.
Fine. I deserve them, though.
Nah.
So, yeah, that was what I read.
Well, now we have the most important part of the podcast.
The what you drinking part? Mm-hmm. Okay. So tell me, my dear Alicia, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a fine Elysian Space Dust, which you would not like because it is an IPA.
That's poison. Yeah. Because you're drinking poison.
Yum.
Mm-mm. There's something wrong with people who drink IPAs.
You're wrong. It's good. It's not my favorite, but of the ones that are around right now, I like it. However, yesterday, I was at The Pint, which I think we've talked about before. It's one of our local bars. They got rotating taps, blah, blah, blah. And I had the Peach Cider Boys. Oh, have you had it?
No. I want that in my mouth.
So good. It tastes like real peach, not like fake peach or chemical peach or just peach flavoring. Like real peaches in your beer. It is so good. I think it's better than the pineapple.
Oh my. I wonder if they have that at the store.
I don't know, but I told the guy at the pint that I wanted to take the keg home. And he laughed, but I was serious.
He's like, no, I'm for real. Can you load that in my car?
We need to buy all of it because it was good. I have seen it before and I didn't buy it because I'm always afraid of peach flavored things, right? Because sometimes they just taste like fake peach and that's gross. But this was good. It was juicy and perfect.
Was it sweet though? You know, I like it sweet.
It's peach. So, I mean, there's some natural sweetness there. But it wasn't like an overpowering sweet apple cider. It's just peachy. So I think if you like peach stuff, and it's called...
I do.
What is it called? What's the Peach Cider Boys called? I don't even remember. Peach County.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to check that out.
On Rate Beer, it's only got a 3.26, and I'm going to tell you, y'all are wrong. You're wrong.
You're wrong, and something wrong with you.
3.9 on Untappd, and even that's wrong. Wrong.
All right, well, I'm going to check it out.
Yes.
Well, that's a good segue, though. You know why?
Why?
Because I am drinking a new variation on the Sneaky.
Oh, God.
I am drinking sweet tea and Deep Edie's peach vodka.
Ooh.
Yeah, see? Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because they didn't have... I went looking for the lemon vodka, the Deep Edie's lemon, and they didn't have any at the store. So instead, I opted for the peach. And it is tasty.
I bet it is. That actually sounds good. I'm not always like a flavored tea kind of person, but I do like peach teas.
Mm-hmm. So, me too.
Yeah, I would do that.
Me too. I like peach tea. And that's why I was like, oh, I bet this would be good if I mixed it with some sweet tea. So yeah. Or my variation of sweet tea, because I don't use real sugar in my tea.
Yeah. Well, I would try that.
Yeah.
But I'm still pleased with my beer. So.
Your beer is poison.
It's good. It's got a nice, sharp flavor, but it's not, like, overpowering.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, and it smells good, too. Elysian Space Dust. It has a hop vomiting a galaxy.
See, that's always the problem with those IPAs is they had weird ass names and images like hops puking and hops punching you in the face and hops running you over with a Mack truck. Why I want to drink that? Why I want to drink that? It's a violent beer. It's a violent beer.
Oh my gosh. Let's talk about PAX. What's wrong with you? So I think that, I mean, I want your general impressions,
mm-hmm.
but perhaps even more than the games, etc. There's two things that I think we need to discuss. And this is my outsider's perspective. One, there was some discussion, and you will have, I think, a strong opinion on this, that PAX is now mostly for streamers and the media. There were some people talking about that. And not for gamers. Let's invoke that. Nothing's for gamers anymore. But the other thing, of course, was the Riot Games panel that was closed off to men. Or series of panels and workshops that was closed off to men. That created some controversy. Those are the two things that, you know, I, as the outsider, really latched onto. But what was the experience like?
So, it was interesting, right? Because this was my first PAX, right? I've been to GDC before. the Game Developers Conference, which is, you know, yes, aimed at like educators and developers, and some industry folks, of course. Well, that said, developers, duh. See, I'm tired, y'all. but developers and educators. And I've been to E3, which is really targeted at media folk, mm-hmm. right? Well, it has been, right? Mm-hmm. The last couple of years, like last year and this year, where they started selling this unusual number of tickets to like the public, and making that place totally unnavigable in terms of E3. Mm-hmm. PAX, I don't know. I don't feel like it was aimed at media and streamers, because most of the folks who were like media and streamers, if they had media passes, the floor was open early to them. So that they could get in and talk to folks. It was a lot of, I mean, it was just tons of like everyday folks, like people, just gamers and people who brought their kids. I still wouldn't bring my kids to one of these. And people who brought their kids and were standing in line to play games. So yeah, I don't see it. I mean, there was the whole time, like during regular show floor hours, because I didn't even apply for a media badge, because mm-hmm. I had already had my tickets by the time the media badge like sign up opened, because I didn't want to like risk not getting tickets. Mm-hmm. And then by the time it opened, I was like, I got tickets already. I really don't want to go through the trouble of trying to sell them. And I don't want to take tickets away from somebody else. Right. And then just have two sets of tickets or whatever the hell it would happen at that point. So it never occurred to me that, I might want to get in early to talk to folks. But I might do that next year, because it was packed. It was absolutely and completely packed. And most of the people that I saw standing in line were not streamers, were not media. They were just people that were standing in line for 2 hours to play games. Yeah. And because of that, I played one, and I didn't even play. I stood next to Nicole, who was on the show with us before. I stood while she played Kingdom Hearts 3. And the only reason that we actually got to play that one was because they were doing like ticketed times. And even with a ticketed time, you had to come back at whatever your time was and stand in line for like another hour to play the game for 15 minutes. And then they had the hope and a prayer line. So if somebody didn't show up or quit early because they finished the demo early, you could get in. So we stood in the hope and the prayer line, and one machine was open. And because she's like a longtime fan of the Kingdom Hearts series, I've never really played a Kingdom Hearts game.
Yeah, I don't like them. I know lots of people do. That's great. But
yeah, I mean, and she was like, we can share it. I was like, no, you play. I'll watch.
I'm good.
I'll watch. But you know what? Honestly, this one looks really good. It looks like something I want to play.
I mean, they're all well made. I don't like the canon Disney characters at all. So I get that. For me, it doesn't appeal in even the least little bit.
They got a lot of Pixar characters this time.
Yeah.
I think that's what's pulling me in.
That could be.
Cause I don't like the, you know me with Disney characters. But they got a lot of Pixar characters this time, and that's what's pulling me in. But she really enjoyed it, and it looks, I mean, she said the gameplay was good. It looked good. The gameplay itself, the art is beautiful. It looks super polished, and it's not due out until next year.
Yeah. And you know, I have a lot of friends who love Kingdom Hearts. And they are so excited. They're talking about it constantly. We're even playing a Kingdom Hearts-themed Mafia game next. I'm not playing it. They are.
You're like, I'm not playing it.
So, I mean, like, I'm excited for the people who've been waiting for so long because all of the impressions so far seem pretty solid.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
More power to
you. Yeah. I want to play it. I want to play it, and I'll probably play it with my kid. So we'll see. But that was the only thing that we stood in line, that the AAA title. Not we, but that's the only AAA title I stood in line for. Mm-hmm. I played a lot of indies.
I've heard some really cool about some really cool indies. I'm curious as to what you played.
Yeah, there were some really cool indies. So let me say this. A lot of, other than like Kingdom Hearts and that's about it. Everything else that was there in terms of AAA titles is going to be out like within the next month or two.
Yeah.
And I wasn't standing in line for 2 hours to play like Tomb Raider that I could play in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Or Dragon Quest 11, which I really did want to play. I wasn't standing in line for 2 hours to play that when it literally came out the day I got back from PAX. You know, so there were certain things. I was like, yeah, I'm not standing in line for 2 hours for this stuff. The stuff that I would have stood in line for 2 hours to you know, maybe check out wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like something that really, you know, is like red flags for me, stuff that wasn't there. Unless I missed it. Red Dead Redemption 2 wasn't there. I don't think I missed it. Fallout 76. One, Bethesda had their play days offsite. They had a booth at PAX, but they also had their play days offsite at like the Hard Rock Cafe up the street. There was no Fallout 76 anywhere to be found. That game is supposed to come out like November 14th or November 16th or something like that. Mm-hmm. There's no playable demo. That makes me real skeptical.
Yep.
It's September.
Yeah.
And we still haven't seen the beta they've been telling us we were going to be able to play. Again, that's another big red flag for me.
We talked about this today, but I'm not here for Fallout 76.
So we know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen with Fallout 76.
I know one thing that's going to happen with Fallout 76.
We know what's going to happen with Fallout 76. You're going to get folks that show their asses and
Target. Literally, that's going to be literally showing their asses in their underwear. Mm-hmm. Go on.
Well, that too. But they're going to, you know, like... There's something that just tells me that they're going to do shit that they've been doing with other games for the last year, targeting characters of color to kill them, to destroy them, to do whatever the hell they're going to do. Right. Mm-hmm. I know what's going to happen in my pessimistic heart, but I have friends around me who are so excited and they're like, but it might not happen. And I'm like, it's going to happen. But I want to try it out just to see. And then, you know, Bethesda seems to know too, that this is going to happen, right? Because they've got that new thing that if you're just going around like trolling people and killing people and blowing up their stuff, then you can enter wanted status. And if you entered wanted status, people can come kill you then without entering wanted status themselves. So that's their way of kind of doing community self-policing, because mm-hmm. they know it's going to happen, and they're just trying to find whatever way they can to stop people from being assholes on the internet. And we know
good luck,
and we know it's not gonna happen.
People are very dedicated to being assholes on the internet.
Yeah. That's some people, that's what they do. That is their day job. So I'm interested. I want to see. I'm one of those people who's like, I want to watch the train wreck. I want to watch the train wreck.
I want to now write a song about assholes on the internet. How's that go? Assholes on the internet.
There's plenty of them. There's plenty of them. So yeah, the AAA titles I would have stood in line for weren't there. But there were some super cool little indie games. Like I played Ooblets, which I've been super excited for. I got less excited for it, I have to admit, when they changed the Ooblets battles from like Pokemon style battles to dance battles. Because I was like, that's a little too cutesy for me. But it does have like the farming element. Y'all know I'm a sucker for farming sims.
What, you?
Yeah, me. I played it. It's super cute. Honestly, I don't think it's going to hold my attention very long. It will not hold my attention as long as Pokemon. It will not hold my attention as long as Stardew Valley. It will not hold my attention even as long as Graveyard Keeper, which is not going to hold my attention as long as Stardew Valley, because it's very, it's narratively shallow.
Yeah.
And the same is true of Ooblets. Now, it's going to be, I think it might be a cool kids game. My kid might love it. But she might also toss it to the side after a while. But yeah, it's super cute and I'll play it, but it won't be a 400-hour game for me like Stardew.
No.
See that. Yeah. I got hands on with Tunic, which I think you will like. That is the one with the cute little fox.
I know which one it is.
So it is 3D with a cute fox, but it plays just like 2D Zeldas.
Yep. I'm in. That's really all you have to say.
Yeah, when I was playing that, I was like, Alicia is going to fucking love this.
2D Zelda, you say? Why, I'm already playing this.
So it's cute. And that one will be fun to play. I played a lot of indies. I'm going to tell you about the ones that I played that I liked the most. There is another one called, don't let me slaughter the title. I kind of want to Google it to double check. But if I'm remembering correctly, the title of the game is The World Between.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at that earlier. Hang on. I think that is correct. Let me look. I have it up in a tab. Maybe.
Yeah. So let me tell you about it.
Okay.
Why you even looking? You double check me. So it's called The World Between.
Oh no. I was looking at something else.
I'm sorry?
I was looking at something else.
Oh, okay.
I have The Gardens Between. I have In Between. No, what's The World Between? Who was it?
Okay, wait. Let me double check. There was a Gardens Between, which is also very cute.
What was this game about?
It's about a teenage girl who, I probably got the two titles merged. A teenage girl who goes into like a parallel universe where there are monsters and supernatural creatures. The World Next Door. That's what it is.
Oh, okay.
So The Gardens Between is a cute puzzle game that involves like rewinding time and going back and forward. That feels like part platformer, part Life is Strange 1. Mm-hmm. Just in terms of mechanics, which is also super cute. So that's mine. Maybe it's not. Let me see. I'm sorry.
That's okay. The World Next Door is done by Viz Media.
It is super duper cute.
Boy, she's wearing some tiny shorts, isn't she?
So the clothing is not the best. I will say that.
Those are underwears. That's some underwear.
That's yours. I'm sorry. My kid and I have Switches that look exactly the same now. So, because I changed my Joy-Cons. It's a puzzle game, right? Where you have to like match up tiles to fight monsters. The bad monsters, because everybody basically on the other side in the world next door is a supernatural creature slash monster of some sort. The clothing is tiny. It's a little iffy, but mechanically, as a puzzle game with some narrative, I like puzzle games a lot. And it's like a more narrativized, like match three game. Mm-hmm. But it was super fun. It was super duper fun. The World Next Door, that's not coming out until 2019.
Maybe in the meantime, they can make her some pants.
Maybe they can. They just, that's what it was. In the demo, they didn't have time to make her any clothes. you are a troll.
You still have time to design pants.
Make her some pants. Another game that I saw kind of briefly, but I had seen like another like media briefs, was a little game called Treasure Stack, which looks amazing. It's like a platformer slash adventure game. The art style is adorable. And the game itself looks really fun because it's puzzle based. A lot of the indie games, of course, were puzzle based games. And they looked really good. I'm dying to play that one. The Gardens Between was, like I said, was the other one that was like time shifting. Also looks really good. I'll probably play that. Let's see. What else really struck me in terms of indie games? The one thing I really wanted to see, because it looks a lot like Stardew Valley. Everything revolves around Stardew Valley for me. I saw people with t-shirts, but I didn't see the game itself anywhere. So I think it must have been there and I just missed it, which is hard to believe because I spent almost all of the 3 days that I was there on the indie game floors was Mineko's Night Market.
I did not see it.
I've seen the trailer for it. I've seen it like they, because they talked about it on the Nintendo Direct with the Nindies. And it looked amazing. And it was one of the things that I was actually looking for. I was hoping to see when I got there. And I didn't see it. We were walking like one night to the to a party like afterwards. And I saw people with t-shirts on. And I was like, well, where the hell is it? So it's about, it's very cute. So it's a super cute art style. And you craft, you eat, and there are adorable cats who do things. Right. And it's a series of mini games. And it is the cutest thing that I've seen in a very long time. But it's not coming out until 2019, at least on the Switch. I think it's supposed to come out on like Steam, and I don't know when. But definitely coming out on the Switch. Those were the big things, I think, for me. Those were the big things for me. I mean, was there anything that like was huge gut punch? Honestly, no. Honestly, no. It was a great chance for networking. I mean, and maybe this is why people are saying this is a better chance for streamers and media folks, because you got there was time for networking, but. And I don't think it was necessarily that it was more for streamers and media folks. I think that the AAA titles that should have been there just aren't ready. They just aren't ready. I mean, like I said, most of the stuff that was there with demos that people could stand in line for, most of it will be out before the end of the year.
Yeah.
And that's a thing, because it's late.
Yeah, it's September.
Yeah. It's September, and to not have Fallout there when it's supposed to be out in November, to not have Red Dead there when isn't that supposed to be out in like November too?
I don't know.
Y'all know I'm still. Mm-hmm. Y'all, I'm Red Dead. I'm scared. That game. Oh no, that's October.
It's Red Dead to me.
Oh my God. Are you trying to dad jokes?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, don't do that again. That hurt. That hurt. That was painful.
It was great. You shut up.
That was painful.
Y'all like
yeah, it. Yeah. It was so I mean, maybe like I said, maybe that's why folks felt like it was, you know, more geared toward the media because I mean it was a good chance for networking. It was a good chance for like talking to people like face to face that you only usually get to talk to via email or on the interwebs on social media. Maybe that's what it was.
Maybe.
But yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, it was just there were some people that I saw talking about and complaining about people taking up space in lines, like to get swag, but not to play, and that there were more accommodations for the media and for streamers this year and previous years. But I can't speak to that because I haven't compared myself, and you never know. Okay, I'm going to say this, and I'm not sorry. You never know with gamers if they are legitimate complaints or if y'all just yapping.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you couldn't get the swag without playing games.
Okay.
People, that's the thing. That's why I call bullshit on that. Because, I mean, I'm a streamer. I'm a partner streamer. I was wearing a t-shirt that said Mixer Partner, right? Because then we had partner t-shirts, right?
Yeah.
But I still had to stand in line, and I mean, if you went in before it was open to the public, yeah, you just went in and talked to people and got your shit and played your game or whatever, and it wasn't a 2-hour wait. But like I said, I didn't do that. But I mean, but it still opened. It wasn't like you had to wait until noon or 2 o'clock in the afternoon or anything to get in if you were the public. Right. It opened to the public. The expo floor opened to the public every day at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And you know gamers, they ain't up for that no way. So I don't know. And if they had swag, like a lot of folks had t-shirts, right? Like they had Tomb Raider t-shirts. I was like, I really want one of those Tomb Raider t-shirts. I was like, and I went over to the booth to try to buy one, and they were like, nope, you got to play the game. Because they weren't even selling them in the store. Because, you know, everybody had, like, their own little, like, mini store set up.
Yeah.
They weren't selling the t-shirts. They wanted you to play the game in order to get the t-shirts. Which I think was a huge, you know, mistake on their part. For the AAA titles, anyway. So you had to stand in line for 2 hours and play the game for 15 minutes to get a t-shirt. And I was like, nah, bruh. I'm gonna order that shit on the internet. I'm not standing in line for 2 hours to play a game that's gonna be out in less than 2 weeks. And the same was true for like Dragon Quest. Because, mm-hmm. like I said, I wanted to play Dragon Quest, even though it was coming out like the day we got back from PAX. I wanted to play Dragon Quest because I wanted to see if I actually wanted to spend my money on it.
Right.
But I wasn't standing in line for 2 hours. And the t-shirt wasn't that cute.
Tell them.
It wasn't that cute. So I don't know where that came from. I don't know where that came from. Yeah, you couldn't just stand in line and get the swag. You had to stand in line, play the game, and then they were giving out swag. And sometimes it was only a chance to win swag. So, I mean, unless these were booths somewhere that I wasn't, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Me? Oof. Like I said, maybe I missed it. So, you know, I've seen a lot of saltiness in the Twitterverse about streamers and media folks. It's like, you know, these people think they're better than everybody else. No, no, I don't. Well, some people do. I mean, but that's everywhere.
Okay, so here's the thing that I'm gonna say this for the record. You can't rally to replace media folks with streamers and then be mad when streamers get treated like media folks.
True that.
But
true that.
Logic has never stopped anybody complaining on the internet, so...
It was like, we want real gamers. We don't want these media folks. So when you get real gamers who then take advantage in a bad way, but take advantage of the fact that they now have this access, right. You can't cry because they got access.
No, I mean, that's what you wanted.
Ain't that what you said? Ain't that what you said? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just checking.
You said what you said.
You said what you said. Put your big girl panties on and shut the hell up. What you do.
Oh my god.
But they did have some interesting stuff, right? There was tons of Fortnite stuff there, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and that makes sense. Fortnite is hot, right? So they had a whole Fortnite mini golf course that I did not go to. And then they had like a whole block where they had like decorated it like an actual scene from Fortnite with like the wooden fence and a big Fortnite sign, and mm-hmm. they were running Fortnite tourneys that were like paying pretty good, like top five people every day got like $5,000. The winner got like $225,000 or something like that. And they had a lot of swag. They also apparently, and this is the one I'm mad about because I didn't see. I know people who got it, and I saw the pictures, but I never made it down there. Was they had like a PUBG interactive experience where you could like film yourself like walking in slow mo through like smoke and shit, like you were dressed like you were actually in PUBG, and I was like, whoa! I wish I had been there, but I didn't. Alas, I did not. Because I like PUBG, but alas, I did not get to play that. I did not get to play the interactive experience. And they had the PUBG van that they're supposed to be giving away there, too. There's a lot of off-site stuff. PAX adjacent stuff is what I've been calling it, right? There's lots of parties. Like I said, the interactive experiences between Fortnite and PUBG that you didn't have to have PAX badges to go to. And the Bethesda experience, the Bethesda play days, like I said, it was like come to Hard Rock Cafe, free drinks, free food, play some games, win some stuff, get some swag. There was lots of that, and that was not just for media. That was for everybody. They were hawking that shit for everybody. And like I said, you didn't even have to have a badge to go in. So how that's just for media, I don't know.
Yeah, I I'm just saying what I was, you know, looking stuff up and
reading
news and reading some opinions.
No, I get you because, like I said, I've seen it too, in terms of people on the internet being real salty.
Yeah.
But like I said, I just didn't see it. But, you know, and I don't know. But. The other thing that you wanted to talk about, interestingly enough, was another thing people were salty about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they were.
All right. So how about you start? Tell us what they were salty about, Alicia.
So Riot Games had a room that until like 2:30 in the afternoon was closed off. And accessible only to women and non-binary folks. And they had resume and portfolio reviews to encourage people to get into the industry. They had a couple of panels, like one panel, I think, and a Q&A. Mm-hmm. Or it was a roundtable with QA designers. I'm not sure. It's unclear to me. Though apparently they later ran the panels on their Instagram. So they were not just available to people at PAX, but they were publicly available to anybody who wanted to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
But there was some salt. Because it was a women and non-binary folks only space.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because people don't understand. People don't understand. Here we go. Here we go. Write this shit down. Get a pen. Get a piece of paper. Equity does not equal justice, y'all. Right. You just can't say, well, you know, men and women had access to that panel, so therefore, that is just. No, 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 bruh, no. We need a, you know, sometimes you need a space because, yes, here's a news flash. In games, cis het dudes often think they know every fucking thing. And they talk over, through, and around everybody else.
Over, through, and around. So this is, there's a specific discussion thread that I want to talk about.
Okay.
Because I would like to know what you think. That's not true. I know what you think. I would like to hear you say it so we could talk about it. So, Kelsey Moser, who's an esports analyst, said regarding this event, she says, I don't oppose and occasionally support career outreaches that target women in gaming. But events with a career in gaming bent that exclude men reinforce an archaic idea that women cannot coexist with men professionally, and thus it's not the solution. I added a couple words, but that's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
That. My humble opinion...
If she didn't drink the damn Kool-Aid.
Is that... I have some thoughts about that, but my humble opinion is that nothing about this event says that women can't coexist with men. Like, that's right. An assumption that was made that's incorrect on the face. Events that give space to people are spaces that allow them to discuss comfortably and learn. And that's what these spaces were for.
Yes.
Without being talked over, around, and through. Now, if I want to talk specifically about how some women who are successful in the gaming industry, for whatever reason, seem to think that they just got there magically. But I ain't trying to talk shit about people who don't realize that maybe they were lucky and happened into, you know, opportunities that maybe aren't available to everybody.
Right.
And that maybe they should be focused on giving a hand to other people. But, you know, I'm not her. I don't know her life.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion. But I think that if you are going into the gaming industry, you will, of course, coexist with men. If you live in the world, you will coexist with men. You will breathe the same air as men. Like, that's just...
I'm not breathing man air.
Okay, so you are special. You're not breathing man air. But the rest of us grubby bitches are out here breathing man air. Okay? I don't understand the problem with occasionally saying, this service we are offering
ain't for y'all.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, but see, that's the same.
Well, we're serving these populations who are underserved.
That is the same. How do we put this? That is the same mentality that says, I don't see why we need historically Black colleges, tribal colleges, or largely Hispanic serving institutions. Yeah. Right? That is the same. That is the exact same mentality. It's like, so why do we need HBCUs? Why do we need, you know, historically black, or HBIs is what they call them now. I'm old. When I went to HBCU, it was called HBCU. Now the HBIs, historically black institutions. So, you know, then that just means that, you know, then black people don't know how to exist in a world with white people. We have existed in the world with y'all motherfuckers our entire lives. But you know what? Sometimes we need a space for us to figure out how to exist in a space more successfully and without some of the ongoing bullshit.
Yeah.
Right? Like the bullshit that Miss Kelsey is spurting. Cause I read her piece over there in the, you know. So, I mean, I don't know.
I don't either. And I think that, like, I get it. I can see lots of motivations to say something like that. I'm not going to talk about all of them. We're just going to say that I know that they are there. They are many. They are myriad. They are things that we say. Sometimes to survive, sometimes because we believe them, sometimes because we don't recognize our own positionality.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to know is, where is the harm in holding a session that encourages women to work in the games industry versus the potential harm by holding an event for everybody? And having women and non-binary folks pushed aside at the expense of men. Which, you know what? We have a lot of men in the gaming industry. Lots of men. Men everywhere. Men as far as the eye can see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the harm. We need more people who are different and diverse and have lots of rich life experiences who can bring fresh perspectives to the table so that maybe I don't have to play a puzzle game in which the heroine is in her underwear. Because, like, why? I don't sit around and do puzzles in my underwear. I'm wearing my fucking pajama pants. Where is my heroine in pajamas?
Right? Because, you know, if I just happen to slip into, you know, a parallel universe, even if I'm just chilling at home when it happens.
I'm wearing pajamas. I'm wearing, like, pajama pants or leggings.
And a t-shirt.
Yep. My bra and underpants often do not match.
I was going to say, I may or may not have on a bra, though.
I know it's probably a sports bra if I'm at home.
I was going to say, you and I differ in that area. I understand. But see, me, once I come home, that's like, once my bra come off, you know I ain't going outside till tomorrow.
I can't free swing like that. I don't, it's just not comfortable to me, but I am dedicated to sports bras. And I have many cheap and shitty sports bras, so it's not like they're actually doing anything except making sure that I don't put out anybody's eye when I turn around, including my own, right? But if I'm like chilling at home, like watching TV or working on something, and I get sucked into a parallel universe, I'm not in full makeup. I take that shit off as soon as I get home. I'm like, do I have anywhere else to go? Nope. Makeup wipes. Just scrape it off. And it's like leggings or pajama pants, a yep. tank top, and a sports bra. And I'm not wearing shoes.
Nope.
But I'm surely not prancing around in matched bra and panties and little furry slippers with heels, sighing and wishing that a man would come and save me. But we have ranged a field.
Yes, a little bit, just a little bit. But it's true. I mean, that is the perception that you get from these kinds of
And it doesn't come from real world experience, right? It comes from media perpetuating media perpetuating media.
Yes.
Which yes. maybe if we get some different media perspectives That changes. So we should encourage it. It's a good thing. But you know what? I have a question.
What?
Can you explain to me how one can yell, and I mean yell, about their free speech and the free speech of developers and everybody's free speech, but also be mad when Riot Games says, we're going to exercise our freedoms and do this. Yeah. But my freedoms, as long as they don't impact what I want.
So you are looking for logic.
No, that I'm just wishing it was there.
Does not exist.
No, I'm just anywhere in the realm
of most of these folks who are making these arguments. It don't make no sense.
Y'all need to get your shit together. And you know what? I know that everybody likes Rick and Morty, so I'll put it in a Rick and Morty phrasing. Y'all need to get your shit together and put it in a fucking backpack.
I've never seen an episode of Rick and Morty. Don't want to see an episode of Rick and Morty. That shit looks stupid.
Well, the shit backpack is pretty good. And it's an apt metaphor. Just get your shit together. Put it in a backpack. I don't care. Put it in the shit museum. Whatever. Whatever you need to do, just get it together. Because if we want to argue that developers get to do whatever the fuck they want, then developers get to do whatever the fuck they want. The end. Full stop. And that includes saying, this panel is not for you. Get over it.
Well, they can do whatever they want as long as it still privileges men, is what you got to understand.
Well, I think that what we all really need to understand is this. Yeah, developers are free to do whatever they want, and sometimes there's going to be a reaction. And that's what it's been all along. Sometimes y'all want to make characters with titties bigger than their heads, and I have a reaction in which I say, that's dumb. Y'all shouldn't do that because that's sexist, dumb, and just looks uncomfortable.
Yes.
That's not me censoring a gaming company. That's me saying that shit is stupid.
Right.
I have finished my beers. Can you tell? Second, this is the same thing. Riot Games did a thing, and y'all said, that's shitty. That's good. You can have that reaction. Now you can get the fuck over it.
Yes. Yes. That is exactly what you need to do. Right? I mean, so people, humans, I don't want to say gamers are shitty people because gamers are not shitty people. I know a lot of amazing gamers. Mm-hmm. But there are some gamers out there that make all of the rest of us just look bad. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, okay, I'm going to tell you, I've been real salty since E3. And I've been waiting for Nintendo to actually announce something in a Nintendo Direct other than Super fucking Smash Bros, which I have negative 10% interest in. So we were supposed to have a Nintendo Direct today. Nobody's quite sure what that Nintendo Direct was about. I was hoping beyond hope it was the announcement of an Animal Crossing, because I need an Animal Crossing for my Switch so that I can get that Stardew Valley Jones off my back and get something different. Now, in case you didn't know, there was a big fucking earthquake in Japan. Mm-hmm. That killed people. Mm-hmm. People died. People got hurt. Nintendo said, in light of what has happened, they made this announcement early this morning, in light of what's happened, we're delaying our Nintendo Direct. Because you know what? We got some fucking respect. Why folk on the internet lose they shit? Because they can't get a fucking announcement in light of people dying.
I mean, I have an answer, but no one's going to like it.
What's your answer?
People don't give a shit.
True. Because it's all about them.
It's fuck you, I got mine, and if I don't have mine, you're going to hear about it.
Right. Because they clearly are all wrong. It's all about me. But yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Because they're horrible human beings.
It sucks.
It's people just want to be horrible. They just want to be horrible. I mean, and which is sad because I have to say, absent one thing that happened while I was at PAX, I had a largely positive experience, right? Yeah, there were too many people. Y'all still need to teach your children to wash their asses and put deodorant on. Let me say that. And by the time I was super tired, my knee was killing me after like the first and second day, because, you know, we were walking around 12 hours a day and standing all damn day because there was like nowhere to sit. Uh-huh. We were walking in and there were ticket scalpers, right? With the little signs, I need tickets, want to sell tickets, whatever. And there was this dude yelling at this small woman, a small Hispanic woman. She was maybe 5 feet tall. And a fairly small woman, and he had to be 6 feet tall, 450 fucking pounds, yelling in her face because she was in his way. And I was with a bunch of people, and I walked in, and we were walking up to the escalator, and I stopped because I was like, wait. And I turned around and I limped my hobbled ass back to that door because I was like, I cannot let that happen. I cannot believe I walked past that shit in the first place. But I was thinking about myself because I was in a whole lot of pain. Mm-hmm. But I walked back and I was like, because I'm not going to let him just stand there and yell in her face. Because she was not even speaking. She was just like staring straight forward while he was yelling at her. And I walked back, and by the time I had walked back and got through the crowd to get back out the fucking door, he was gone. And I felt like shit because I should have stopped in the first place. So absent that one experience, I had a largely positive experience, but I surrounded myself with people that I knew and people in my community. Mm-hmm. And maybe my experience would have been different if I didn't know folks from Not Your Mama's Gamer and from Mixer. So maybe I would have thought, oh, this is largely for media folks and streamers. If I didn't have any friends there.
Yeah.
But you know, ain't my fault you ain't got no friends. I'm just kidding. I'm just bad. I'm just salty. I'm salty at people being salty on the internet about, you know, about PAX not being the experience they wanted, because it was not, you know, perfect and a kumbaya moment. We don't have those kumbaya moments on the internet, on the interwebs. You know, absent communities that you build and friendships that you make and relationships that you forge. If you want that kumbaya moment, you got to forge those relationships. Nobody's going to come up and give you a fucking hug because you walked through the door. If you spend your time on the interwebs being salty and complaining and being an asshole, then you know what? You're probably those things in person too. Mm. But that's just me. That's just me. But, you know, I want to think that that gamers have some kind of redeeming qualities. I want to think that. I want to think that we're not all hateful people who want to be mad because women get a moment apart to have some extra attention. Or maybe we realize that, you know what? No, you don't stand in somebody's face and fucking yell at them. Especially when you're twice their size and four times their fucking weight. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I want my kumbaya moment. I want my own damn kumbaya moment for at some point. I ain't gonna get it, but I want it.
How's it feel to want?
I'll let you know. I'll let you know. But overall, I have to say, I did have fun at PAX. I had fun at PAX. It was great being able to see folks that I only get to talk to on the interwebs. I, you know, met people who some folks would call strangers, but I would call friends. I got yelled at by my kid when I got back for going to Seattle and getting a tattoo with strangers.
How dare you?
I know I did. I got yelled at for that. I got yelled at for that. I'm like, but they're not strangers. She was like, whatever. You got tattooed with strangers. I had a good time. But you know, like I said, we recognize that there's always work to be done. Especially when, you know, you're cut off from social media to a certain extent. Because I had no fucking reception in the convention center. So I missed all the hullabaloo and I didn't see any of it until either I got back at night or when I got back, period. Because usually when I got back to our Airbnb at night, I was like, I'm about to lay down and go to sleep. And I'll see y'all later. So that in and of itself was nice to not have that access.
Right.
Even though I was mad and bitching about it, cause I couldn't text people or message people in Discord to meet up for stuff.
Yeah.
But it was nice not having access to the bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it was fun.
It was. You should have went.
Well, I couldn't do 13 hours on a plane, though, so I'm glad I didn't. Did anything else?
No, I don't think so. We're going to have to go out for something else. We're going to have to go out that way for something else and spend some time out there with some folks. Because there's lots of amazing folks out there that we know we've had on the show.
Yeah.
That we need to spend some time.
Some of those folks have a DLC coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you were going to talk a little bit about State of Decay.
So the DLC looks fantastic. I did not stand in line for that because you really needed to play that with a team.
Mm-hmm.
I would need to play with a team of folks that I knew and trusted, because you know how I am about State of Decay. I don't like playing with folk that's going to mess up, because then I'm going to yell, and I don't like yelling at strangers.
She yells at strangers all the time.
I do kind of yell at strangers all the time.
She does.
I yell at everybody. I don't care.
I was watching those conversations on Twitter in particular, because they kept saying, nobody's won yet. Nobody's beaten it yet. I was like, oh my God, I'm so ready.
Well, that's also, and I talked to Brant when I was there, and I was like, I'm not going to play your DLC here in public, because I don't want to embarrass myself.
I would have embarrassed myself.
See, I would have played with you. Because I can yell at you.
Yeah, but also, you know, I'll save your ass. So there's,
yes, there's I do. I recognize fully that you will save me. And that unlike other folk, when you get scared, you ain't going to run off and leave.
No, I'm not. I'm just going to get mad and start cussing. So it's probably a good thing that I wasn't playing in public either. But I am very excited.
Me too. I can't wait to play it.
Blood Plague Juggernauts sounds like the best worst idea I've ever
heard.
Oh
my God. Oh my God. It sounds like a big old plate of hot death that I cannot wait to be served.
Okay, so let's think about it for a second. Between the two games, how many hours have I played now?
Oh God. How many hours have you played?
Yes. 1500?
I was going to say 2000.
I don't know if it's that much. Because I kind of took a break, but it's been a lot. Like a lot. And yeah. I still, every time I see a juggernaut, I'm like, let me think about whether or not I feel like it. Sometimes I'm like, nope. And I'll just, or if one comes up on me and I'm doing something, I'm like, hell no. And I just get the fuck out. So Blood Plague Juggernauts, I am a little alarmed, I will say. And I am very experienced in these games. A little alarmed. I'm ready, though. Let's do it. Bring it on.
Oh, yeah. And you don't have to take your actual, like, survivors in.
Right.
Which will make me probably more prone to play it with other people than if I had to trust people with my actual survivors.
Make you more prone to run out there with your gun blazing and not aiming. I mean, look, yeah, you'll take
Spray and Pray is always the name of the game. You gonna hit something.
Yes, sometimes the wall.
Sometimes
the ground.
Yeah.
You know, you run out there, I'm gonna be hanging back and carefully aiming at heads.
I know, but that's what you do. That's not what I do.
That's fine. Everyone has a valid way of existing. Except for, you know, murderers. That's not particularly valid.
No, that's true. This is very true. Yes,
I am excited. I would have stood in line. That's the one thing I would have probably stood in line for. Though really, I would have gone, I would have carried my ass to the little barrier and been like, where's Brandt? If you don't I'm gonna rub you with onions.
I'm looking for some special privileges.
Yeah, I'm like, I need privileges because I know your weaknesses, sir. So if you're listening, I would have totally tried to cheat and also possibly threatened you with things you're allergic to. That's how I roll. I've been like, I brought a bag, here's some onions, you better watch out,
better let me in.
All right. Well, I am glad that it was fun.
And I have to say this, y'all. And if you're listening, Brant, you might as well plug your ears because I'm about to embarrass you. Brant is one of the sweetest humans on the face of the planet.
Obviously. Though I will never forget the time he came up in my stream when I was playing State of Decay and tried to tell me how to play. And I was like, nope. That's how you play, sir. Comma, sir. It's not how I play. Get out. Told me to turn my flashlight on. Hashtag never forget. Turning my flashlight on and bring zombies.
Hey, that's what I say it all the time. Flashlights and guns. Don't play with that.
I will rummage in the dark.
And beat a zombie with a frying pan before I start shooting.
Yep. It's fine.
That's asking for death.
Well, maybe next time we'll be able to talk about the new DLC, and maybe some of these games will have come out.
Yes.
And we can talk about those, too.
Yeah, because the, let's see, the Blackout beta for Call of Duty, Black Ops will be out.
You don't even know what game.
I'm tired. It's been a long day. I'm still trying to recover from time changes. And by the time we talk next time, also, Shadow of the Tomb Raider will be out.
I don't give a fuck.
Man, you know what? You gonna stop hating on that game.
No. Okay, well, you can full stop with, are you gonna stop hating? But you can end that with a question mark, and then the answer is no. I'm not. I'm never going to stop hating.
Oh, man. You're just hateful.
Yeah. hate what I hate.
Well, we know that about you.
You like what you like. It's fine. I'm allowed to not be excited about too many things.
Fine.
You play your Tomb Raiding game, and I hope it's fun.
I hope so, too. Thank you, though.
You're welcome. You have my permission.
I'm glad I have your permission to play a game that I bought with my own money. You have my permission to
like the things that you like. I bet it's going to suck, though.
Y'all see how she is.
She keeps me around anyway.
Wonder why. All right. So with that, I think that's going to bring us to the end of episode 178.
The post-PAX parlay.
The post-PAX parlay. So until next time, when we talk about all the games we've played since this week and all the other wonderful things that have gone on in the news and whatever else we talk about. And we will find out finally if I actually do come down with the PAX pox that everybody else seems to be coming down with. I washed my hands 5,000 times and used 18 bottles of hand sanitizer. I bet not come down with it. We'll see. We'll see. But until next time, y'all, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for listening. Stay cool. Stay safe. Be good to one another. And as always, 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 my friends, game on. We'll be right back.